Blog Talk Radio.
Superstar.
Yeah, buddy.
How you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm well, and yourself?
Fantastic. We're just going to let the music play here for a little bit, because it's kind of a special occasion. Of course, this is, the New Year?
It is the New Year.
How long do we go before it stops being the New Year? Like, at what point is it not new anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
I hope to have
give it a week, 2 weeks, you know, a month.
I think we could just forget about it right now. It's kind of old. But we're going to have to talk about it a little bit tonight, because we're doing New Year's resolutions and 2012 predictions. So right about the time that this show ends, it'll stop being new.
Okay, that works for me.
I'm going to once the background music goes, then I'm going to talk. This is a special show, Superstar. I'm going to talk to you about it in a minute. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Don't worry that we've been live for 2 minutes. How's it going, everybody? It is Chris Block here, the Third Man In Radio, here on blogtalkradio.com/The Third Man In. It is Wednesday night, January the 4th, 2012, 8:02 here in Chicago. And as you heard there just a moment ago, he's back, always back. He's the superstar. How are you doing tonight, Superstar?
I'm well. You know, I disappear for a little while, but you can never get rid of me.
No, I've been telling people that for years. And I saw you recently, didn't I? I just saw you.
Blackhawks. I don't know.
I think it was a week ago tonight. It was the Kings, but for everybody listening, how was your holiday, Superstar?
It was well. You don't have this issue, and you're a better man for it, and that is in-laws. I absolutely love my in-laws, but when the in-laws and everyone else come and invade your space, holidays take on a totally different meaning. It's one thing to go there. It's another thing when they come here.
Did you get anything special over the holidays? Any gifts that you like to share? Anything special?
Not really. I picked up a golf club this summer for the first time in a long time, so asked for a bunch of gift cards and I got them. So that was about it.
You know, we're going to talk about the Blackhawks here in just a second. The Blackhawks got significantly better today. Stan Bowman had a great day. We're going to talk about him here in a little bit. Some contract signings. The big matchup tomorrow night in Philadelphia, the Blackhawks' first appearance in Philadelphia since that June 9, 2010 evening. Superstar. I was just asked the other day, I was just invited to go golfing, here in pretty soon when we go back to Vegas. I was just invited out to do the golf.
You were invited out to do the golf?
Yeah, which is interesting because I don't golf. I only drive.
Right.
You're the golf, but I got invited. I don't know. That's
interesting, because you probably have more information about the golf outing that I've been talking about with members of the group for 2 months, and you probably have more information about it than I do.
Did you watch the Winter Classic?
I did. I did not catch all of it, but I did catch the majority of it. And to be real honest, I'm over it. Not that game in particular.
You're over it, so you don't want the Blackhawks and the Red Wings at the Big House next year.
I could care less. You know, here's the deal. It's something for the fans, and yeah, that's great, and everything goes along with it. But I think it's just. I'm over. I'm over the whole Winter Classic thing. And like I said, I'm not talking specifically about Flyers Rangers. I'm just talking about the whole gimmick. I'm done with it.
You don't want to watch hockey outside?
No. I don't want to watch hockey.
Yeah, outside. I don't either. I went to Wrigley Field for the Winter Classic. And it was fun until about midway through the second period. And then I just wanted to get the hell out of there. Because you know me, Superstar, I don't like being around Blackhawks fans at all, usually.
Right.
But to be amongst that many outside in the cold when I could, you know, quickly jaunt across the street and watch in a bar, I would have been much more comfortable doing that.
Right. I think that's the philosophy. I think you and I have the same kind of philosophy. Now, if somebody were to hand me a free ticket to the Winter Classic, and say it is Blackhawks, Red Wings next year in the Big House. And,
so it has to be free.
What's that?
So it has
to
be free?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have to be free or face value to the point where I would have no problem looking at the members of my party at the first intermission and saying, all right, I'm done with this. Let's go to the bar where we don't have to freeze their asses off and get a better view of the game.
It would give me an opportunity. I didn't get a lot for Christmas this year. I think quite frankly, Superstar, I think people were kind of shocked by my generosity this year. I didn't get much. But my mom, I'll tell you this story. My mom, every year, she gets me one of them winter hats and the gloves, you know.
Right.
And,
you need it.
Yeah, and by January 5th of each year, I lose at least one of those gloves. It's only January 4th. I have the gloves here with me here tonight. And so we still have those, but it would give me an opportunity. But I want to tell you, Superstar, and I'm going to tell the story, and I probably shouldn't, but I don't care who knows it. You know me, Superstar. I'm a little bit paranoid sometimes.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at some pictures from our Vegas trip recently, and I noticed something that people have been telling me for a little while, and I just kind of put it off. But I got a lot of hair, right? You know that,
right?
Yeah. Well, I noticed that it's thinning on top. Now, it's nothing to be concerned about, really, and a normal human being wouldn't be too concerned about it. But this, to me, is very alarming. So on my birthday, which was we won't say when it was, but it was a while ago. I gave myself the gift, the promise of hair. I started using Rogaine.
Wow. Good for you.
Which isn't the first time. I should say this. That's not the first time. And this is a shocking revelation. You know when I first used Rogaine, Superstar?
I don't know if I want to know this.
I was 24. Yeah.
That's so about 10 years ago. Wow. That is some shocking news. I would have never guessed.
It lasted about 6 days because I just always forgot to put it on. And it isn't going well this time either. but yeah, I gave myself the promise of hair in the new year. Tonight, we're going to try to take phone calls again. Anybody who listened last week, towards the end of the show, some dope called in and asked about the Bears. Well, I got some flack for not answering the guy's question, which I don't know that he really had a question. I think he was just calling in to be an asshole. But why don't we talk about the Bears, Superstar? for all the people that are upset, and we'll talk about the Blackhawks. You know, I don't care because you know what tonight is, Superstar. I think officially it's episode 95, but you know how sometimes, you know, we were just talking a minute ago, you know how sometimes I could be a bit moody?
Well, you have been known also to be a little moody. And you know what? It's your show, so you can be
moody. It is my show, and I can be moody when I want to be moody. And things, not so much lately. Because when things go wrong lately, I just don't really care. But in the beginning of the show, when I had hopes for this show, now I don't care. Now I've lost all hope. But when I had hopes for the show, when things would go wrong, we would abort. Or
quickly too.
Yeah, or we would get through the whole show, and then I'd start listening to the replay, and I'd realize that I didn't want anybody listening to the show. That being said, that happened at least 5 times, and we're going to go with the number 5. So unofficially, I don't know which one would be which. Tonight would be our 100th show, Superstar. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to you.
Congratulations to me, because I've been here for all 100 of them. You have.
And to what I mentioned to you before, I think, you know, while I definitely don't disagree that there was definitely episodes missing, the lost files, as you may, I think you're just itching towards that 100 so you can be done.
That could be.
I think you're hoping and you're telling yourself this is 100, so that way you don't have to do it anymore.
I'm cleaning up some business.
Right.
We'll talk about the Bears later, because I want to get into something, because we talked about the Winter Classic, and there's something that, before I forget, you know how HBO's been doing the 24/7 Flyers Rangers, right?
What?
Okay, you know how the first 3 episodes have been on what? Been on Wednesday night, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I scheduled the show tonight, you know, this week for 8 o'clock, and then I didn't say this to you, but I Jedi'd to you. I said, we're going to be done by 9 o'clock, so we could hop right over, you know, to the HBO and watch the season finale or the four-part finale of Flyers 24/7, Flyers Rangers 24/7. Well, guess what?
It's not on
tonight.
No.
It's on tomorrow.
I'm throwing you for a loop-de-loop.
How stupid is that?
That is pretty stupid.
I don't care if the game was 2 days ago and they got a lot of footage to go through. If you knew the finale wasn't going to be till a Thursday, then hey, have every episode beforehand be a Thursday. How many people tonight are going to tune in for that show, and there's not going to be a show?
Maybe they'll turn into this show instead.
Doubtful. Doubtful. But
I'm sorry, they're trying to
boost
the confidence a little bit.
And, you know, another thing that really bothered me, you know, so Versus turned into transformed into the former Versus, transformed into the NBC Sports Network this week. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I have it on right now. Bruins game on the tube right now.
Okay, but you're a hockey fan. You're in the know, and you also don't have the NHL Network, so you have really no choice but to watch Versus.
Right. Fuck you, ACC.
Yeah. Since you moved out to the sticks, they don't have the NHL Network out there.
Yeah.
But I'm watching this Winter Classic game, and on the broadcast they keep talking about this week on the NBC Sports Network. Now, unless you're probably listening to this show, or you know you're a hardcore hockey fan, I mean, if you're just tuning into the Winter Classic game, I mean, Winter Classic outside of the Stanley Cup Finals is the highest rated hockey game of the year, right? All these new fans, all these casual fans. What the hell, I mean, these people are like, okay, what the hell is the NBC Sports Network? Where can I find that? Does NBC tell you? Now, they can't do a channel rundown of every cable and satellite outlet, but would it have killed them to say formally Versus?
It makes sense to me.
They didn't say that. So you have all these people that are, you know, you're saying, oh, there's all going to be all these games this week on the NBC Sports Network. I was watching and I'm thinking, because listen, the new age of marketing and advertisement people, they're all about like solidifying and hyping a brand, right? And I think basically the art of getting people to pay for stuff is being lost in the new age, or getting getting people to tune into things, buy things. It's like, okay, we know that you got to hype the brand name, but give people an idea of where the hell it is. I'd be interested to see what the ratings were for the games this week.
Yeah, and you know what? Even before the change, how much did Versus do a lot of, hey, giving you the heads up, we're going bye-bye, it'll be now called.
And if you were watching, and my point is, if you were watching all along, but you have, I don't know what the percentage of casual fans to that game was on the, I haven't seen the ratings yet for the Winter Classic.
Awful.
But I'd say probably 40% of that audience probably very rarely watches Versus.
I would agree.
So they don't know that Versus is becoming the NBC Sports Network.
Very, very true. And as far as the ratings go, I heard the overnight came in at like a 2.4.
That's not good. But
yeah, it's not good at all.
But, I mean, some people, it's not many, but some people did go back to work on Monday. Not everybody, but some people did. So you got to take that into account.
You take that into consideration. But I think the majority of the people were still off.
All right, so Philadelphia Flyers, Blackhawks, like I said before, the first time back in Philly since winning the Stanley Cup, the night that Patrick Kane and the Blackhawks ended that 49 years of being in the doldrums. Team met one time last year, a little bit less than a year ago, January 23rd. Flyers won at the United Center 4-1. Claude Giroux had four assists that night. The empty netter was, if you remember, at the end of the game, with Scotty Hartnell. Marian Hossa scored on the penalty shot to give the Hawks a little bit of life. The other three Flyer goals were scored by guys that aren't on the team anymore, Jeff Carter and Nikolai Zhirdev. Sergei Bobrovsky was great that night, or that afternoon, but I don't think he's playing tomorrow. I think it's going to be Brizgalov against, we know it'll be Ray Emery. Jaromir Jagr not playing. He's out 7 to 10 days with that, whatever happened at the Winter Classic. And game favors Philly. Blackhawks and Philly match up pretty even. But the Flyers' special teams a lot better than the Blackhawks. They are not that great of a home team. They're 500 at home, essentially, 8-6-2. And Hawks have been playing better of late. But the Hawks are terrible. You know this, Superstar. The Hawks are terrible in Philadelphia. They have not won. They have not won in Philadelphia in 8 tries. The last time they won, take this back to the Wayback Machine, Superstar. They have not won in Philadelphia since November of 96.
Wow.
You remember November of 96, right, Superstar?
No. I know that we were seniors in high school. And, that's a long time ago.
I hope you still weren't a senior in high school in November of 96.
Oh, yeah, that was right after we graduated.
That explains where you went for a year. I mean, the Blackhawks aren't good against Philly. They had that one win, if you remember, a couple years ago on Boxing Day, where they actually destroyed the Flyers in the United Center on the 26th of December. Outside of that, they've been terrible. Since the beginning of the 1991 season, the Hawks have beat the Flyers 5 times, 5-20-6. Those are 6 ties. So, and overall in Philly, they're 16-37-11-0. So, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Excited for this one?
I am. It's as much as the Red Wings 3 times in 2.5 weeks or something along those lines is a good test for them. This is a good test for the Hawks to see where they stand against one of the best teams in the East. So, we'll see what happens.
One Blackhawk will not be making the trip.
Uh-oh.
Sure, everybody saw it. you didn't see it, you've heard about it by now. Daniel Carcillo got himself a little bit of hot water with the league. But in the process, if you didn't see it, Danny Carcillo and Tom Gilbert on Monday night at the United Center chasing a puck down deep into the Edmonton zone. I actually completely agree with Joe Quenneville's assessment of the play. He nailed it. Tom Gilbert beat Carcillo the puck and then was trying to kind of box him off the play. Gilbert wasn't exactly going to the puck. He was more worried about body positioning, and Carcillo was within his right if he would have waited another step and a half to hit Tom Gilbert. But he didn't wait that step and a half, and he launched Gilbert into the boards in an awkward angle. NHL came in today. NHL stepped in tonight, actually, and suspended Dan Carcillo 7 games. Not going to matter much because it looks like Daniel Carcillo's year is done, because after hitting Gilbert, Gilbert fell backward onto Carcillo's left leg, left knee, and looks like we're hearing, anyway, that considerable damage and quite possibly season-ending surgery on that left knee. I got to say this. The Blackhawks really, really, really lucked out here. I don't think that there could be better news. And, you know, I know people are going to get upset with me, and I don't care because this needs to be said, and I'm the only one's going to say it. The Blackhawks became a better team today because that idiot is gone for the season. And Stan Bowman lucked out and became a better general manager today because that idiot is done for the season. I'm not going to pin Monday night's loss on Daniel Carcillo in that 5-minute major. I don't think when he did it, he realized that Gilbert was going to launch into the boards. And I don't think that but that's a part of the problem with Danny Carcillo, is that he doesn't think. Earlier in the game, Carcillo pulled the same stunt, and he pulled it. Remember, Carcillo goes to the box early in the first period. Upon stepping out of that box mid-play, he hesitates, so he steps out at a time when a rushing Edmonton player is passing in front of the box, and he tries to take that player out. The same play, different situation, because it was on the other side of the ice. He was coming up onto the ice on a line change that happened last month in Minnesota. And it's two chicken shit maneuvers by a player who has no respect for his opponents. And this was growing. We talked about this early in the year. I talked about this, I remember, when I did the Hockey Night podcast a while back. This is a guy who, early on in the season, was with a new team. It was a new opportunity. He knew, you know, he was in a place where it's a Stanley Cup contender. He was being a good boy. But as the season wore along and he got more comfortable, all his past tendencies, all his stupid crap was going to come back into play. And we've seen it the last month. And the fact that he busted his knee and he's done and you don't have to worry about his crap is the best thing that could have happened to the Blackhawks. And I'm sorry, but it was a stupid decision to sign him, and Bowman dodged a bullet with this happening. Because it's better to have him, if you want to believe that he cost you the game in Edmonton, it's better to have him cost you that game than cost you a series in April or May. And if he played, that's the potential of what he was going to do. Because he has no respect for his opponents, and he's just too dumb on the ice. Players have said it in other places. They say he's a great guy or whatever, but something just snaps when he's on the ice. And it was a stupid decision to sign him. We said it the day that it happened. And, hopefully his career will go on, but it should be in a place other than Chicago, because it was a bad maneuver. And I think it was somewhat ironic on Monday night that Giussiu got the game winner for Edmonton, right?
Oh, I don't recall off the top of my head.
No, it's Ben Eager. The same Ben Eager, and I you know, I don't care for Ben Eager. I mean, whatever, you know. But the same Ben Eager that Pat Foley ripped the entire broadcast, the same Ben Eager that Pat Foley rips every time the Blackhawks play against the Ben Eager team. Meanwhile, one of the reasons why Carcillo was signed is because you're trying to replace whatever it is that Ben Eager was. Ben Eager was a guy who would run around, hit people, and can contribute a little bit of offense. That's why Carcillo was signed. But, I mean, they're both dopes.
Well, you know, I think you hit it right on the top of your head. I know that you definitely mentioned it when the signing happened. But I think when the signing happened, we're all like, oh, God, what did we just get ourselves into? And he came out the first 2-3 weeks. We're like, wow, maybe this guy isn't such an asshat. And you nailed it once again when you, in the last month, noticed the, you know, he got comfortable, started to gel, started to fall into his role. I don't know if you know, wasn't as uncomfortable, so he's trying to do too much with the line changes and bouncing between, you know, up and down as far as the lines go, made him try to do too much and brought a little more of the asset out, opposed to playing with a guy like Taves, who, you know, Captain Sirius is going to take that crap on his line. I don't know what contributed to the last month of him not being that guy that we saw in the first 2-3 weeks where we said, you know, this guy just plays like this all year and isn't such a doofus. You know,
I think he had a lot of energy in the beginning of the season. I think he had more energy, and I think the games, I don't know if slower is the right term, but I mean the games, the pace of games and the intensity of games have picked up now. Because now, I mean, a lot of teams talk about early in the season, it's true, that, you know, every point means so much. But now these games are tightening up. They're becoming more intense. They're becoming, I mean, the passion on the ice, you see it more and more. And what does that do to a guy like Danny Carcillo? You know, it triggers something in his head where he does stupid crap. You know, because he's got to, in order for him to stay in the game, he feels like he needs to do things like that. He needs to play on that kind of an edge. But the problem is that he's not – some of the things – like the three things that I – you know, the hit against Gilbert, stepping out of the box, and then the play in Minnesota. I mean, the one on Monday night was so bad. It was so obvious what Carcillo tried to do. It was so cheap that even Steve Conroy had to acknowledge it. So – you know, I mean, when Olchek's in that position, Olchek, for, you know, everything that I have to say about Eddie Olchek, I mean, he's got the freedom to say basically whatever he wants to say because he is Eddie Olchek, okay? Steve Conroy stepped out and said it because it was so obviously, blatantly Bush League what Carcillo tried to do that even Steve Conroy had to acknowledge it. I mean, for you know, Blackhawks fans that you know, rail on the St. Louis Blues, and, oh, they play dirty, and they do this, and they do that. It's like, that's your guy. And he's out there trying to take guys out. I don't think, this isn't a loss, this is a plus. And hopefully you've seen the last of Daniel Carcillo in a Hawks uniform.
It wasn't even one of those questionable hits either. I mean, this is a hit, if you go back to the mid-90s, that's a suspension. It isn't, oh, the crackdown on concussions and everything else. Is, you know, this wasn't a marginal hit. This was right off the bat. You knew, oh, what did, you know. And if you see the replay, and you follow hockey whatsoever, you see him lining him up when he's 5-6 tries before this, And I remember saying, he's not going to. There's no way. He's not going to do this. And before I could finish my thought, the guy's bouncing off the board face first.
Well, what Brendan Shanahan is looking at already, and they're going to have to come up with new language to make this more clear. But what made that hit so bad was that there's no intent there at all to play the puck.
No, not whatsoever.
Tom Gilbert gets there first, so he's looking for body positioning. And if Carcillo, if you watch the play, Carcillo's never looking for he's never trying to locate the puck. The puck is not a concern to him at all. He's looking to hit Tom Gilbert, which is what made that hit so bad. If he was trying to play the puck, I mean, he may have nudged Gilbert, but he would have tried to step to the side because, Gilbert was trying to angle him off, and the puck was actually sliding away. So if Carcillo was playing the puck, that hit doesn't even happen because he's got a good chance at stepping around Gilbert. But he wasn't. He went there with the intention to put Gilbert through the glass. It's like with Carcillo, it's like how many times, at what point do you, it's like with Matt Cook, and these other guys, at what point does something click inside their head and they start respecting the game more, or two, you get the guy out of the league? I think the difference with Matt Cook and Danny Carcillo is that Matt Cook can actually play the game, shift to shift without doing that kind of stuff. I don't know that Carcillo can. Not every night.
Yeah, no, I think he's capable, but not day in, day out.
Let's talk a little bit about the lineup for tomorrow night in Philly. Of course, wrote about it up there at thethirdmanin.com, also puckchatter.com. You can get there. Andrew Shaw, Rockford IceHogs, Blackhawks draft pick from this past summer, but he was playing in Rockford on an AHL contract all year, signed an NHL deal, his three-year entry-level deal, yesterday. At least it was announced, made finalized, and then he got the call last night. Going to make his NHL debut tomorrow night in Philly. At least if you go by the lines at today's practice at the United Center, Andrew Shaw will be getting an amazing opportunity as he is, at least this morning, Wednesday morning at practice, he was skating on a line with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Sharp.
Step right into the fire.
I'll talk about Andrew Shaw in a minute. The rest of the lines, again, this is according to practice. This could change. Patrick Kane between Marian Hossa and Victor Stahlberg. Bolin between Frolik and Bickle, although that may change. Jamal Mayers, Andrew Burnett, Jimmy Hayes. And, of course, Marcus Kruger was sent to IR. Carcillo, they haven't come out and said exactly what's going on with Carcillo, but all indications are that it's very, very bad. And Steve Monitor got sent to IR for probably just a few days. But the defense pairings, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Jalmerson Letty, Sean O'Donnell, and also recalled from Rockford, Dylan Olsen, who looks to be making his NHL debut in Philadelphia as well. Lepisto and John Scott skated together at practice, but they're not expected to play. I got to say this about Andrew Shaw. It's been kind of like this merry-go-round a bit of late of guys getting called up from Rockford. And, I got an email earlier this week, someone asking me basically, I think it was just yesterday. All the days kind of rolled together, superstar. Basically, all these guys getting called up from Rockford, You know, the Blackhawks seem to have all this talent. Like, why do they suck so bad in the AHL? Like, why is their team so bad? I don't know that these guys are that – I mean, with all due respect, I don't think these guys are all that great, you know. But the other thing that he said was that, you know, that they've come up and they've been impressive. I don't know what – I don't know what your definition of impression impressive. I think they've been okay. Peary was – you know, he had that one decent game against Montreal, and then he was just out there kind of skating between Hossa and Sharp. And a lot of guys can skate between Hossa and Sharp. So, I mean, I like Brandon Peary's doing great right now at the AHL level, but I wouldn't say he was impressive. Morin, you know, like we said at the time, I think it was 2-3 weeks too early, and I don't think it – I think it actually didn't do him any favors, to tell you the truth. He was coming off of a week sitting on the sidelines with a suspension. Went up to the NHL, and I don't think he was ready. I don't think that call-up did him any favors. It boggled my mind when it happened at the time. But, you know, I mean, the guy to – if they were looking for a winger at the time, Andrew Shaw didn't have an NHL contract just yet, that would have been the guy. I think I even said that on the Hockey Night podcast that week. That would have been the guy, but he doesn't have – you know, he didn't have an NHL deal at the time. And they weren't looking for a center, so – kind of process of elimination, Morin got the call, but I didn't think he was ready. I think it's, you know, it spoke volumes about where Joe Quenneville sees Ben Smith right now. You know, and Ben Smith has gone back to Rockford. He's played okay, but I think the Quenneville's issue with Ben Smith is he's just kind of at the same place that he was last year. That there hasn't been much improvement, and I think there's actually they might be wondering if this is what Ben Smith is. I think that's actually something they're thinking about. But Andrew Shaw, probably since the end of October, you know, after Kyle Beach got hurt and Rob Klinkhammer had been struggling for 3 weeks, and I mean the Ice Hawks weren't playing very well, so Ted Dent was trying to mix some lines up. And you know, Shaw was a part of a line that was giving the team a lot of energy, and he got rewarded with, remember at the end of one game, he was rewarded with some power play time. The Ice Hawks power play was terrible at the time, and he went out there, and I mean, it's basically a fourth line that was thrown out on the power play because Ted Dent was mad at his special teams units, generated a goal. And from that point forward, Andrew Shaw found himself on Brandon Peary's line. And he stuck. And it's actually Andrew Shaw's play is in part due. The other part would be Rob Klinkhammer's, you know, just having no confidence, just playing himself into such a hole. Those two things were what triggered the trade of Klinkhammer to Ottawa. Now Klinkhammer's playing in Binghamton. But, you know, it was Andrew Shaw's play that made Rob Klinkhammer expendable. And, you know, I like I wrote today on the website, Andrew Shaw's got 12 goals on the season, 8 of them been in the last 11 games, so he's hot right now. I want to say this, though. He does not have an NHL shot. You know, when he may, you know, if something were to happen and Andrew Shaw gets a couple of weeks with the Blackhawks, I can see him getting a couple of goals just because he goes to the net. He is fearless. I can see him getting some tips, rebound chances, stuff like that. But he doesn't have an NHL shot. And, you know, but he'll bring everything else that you could ask of a player. He's, you know, he'll be one of the hardest working guys on the ice. He's going to forecheck, backcheck hard. He's going to hit guys. He's going to get in guys' faces. I saw somebody today try to compare him to Adam Burrish. Please don't do that. Shaw works hard, and it's a no flash kind of a work hard. You know, he'll give you an honest 60 minutes, and you know you may not hear his name all night. But the other team will certainly know that they played against Andrew Shaw. and that's the kind of player he is. And it'll be interesting to see how he plays at the NHL level. I don't think he's, you know, it's a reward. It's a reward. I don't think that he's ready to play at the NHL level consistently, but it's a good reward for a guy who deserves it. And I think they're trying to keep the morale up of those guys in Rockford, because the team is the worst team in the AHL right now as a team. They haven't had much success. So I think they're trying, partly this is due to, you know, these call-ups have been due to spots opening up in Chicago because of injuries and other things. But I think it's also the fact that they're rotating guys around. I think they're trying to, it's probably two things. I'm trying to see what they got. You know, I mean, Jimmy, you know, bringing Jimmy Hayes up to play on the fourth line, Jimmy Hayes isn't a fourth line player. But they want to see where he's at. Just like, you know, with Andrew Shaw. They wanted to see where Morin was at. I think a lot of this is evaluating their own players.
Well, and you won enough games early enough in the year that you can afford to do that right now.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess my point is that if you were just looking at bringing the best guy, you know, it would be Ben Smith every time. I believe that. I don't know. Maybe Joel Quenneville wouldn't agree with that at this point. But if you're looking to bring the guy at in Rockford, aside from Brandon Peary, okay? Because if you need a center, you're calling Brandon Peary. But I think if you're looking to bring a guy who's well-rounded game, who could go up to the NHL level, play on basically, even though he wasn't given a chance to, play on basically any line, and he's the most well-rounded player, bringing Ben Smith up every time. I think the fact that they're not bringing up Ben Smith is in part due to Quenneville not being happy with Ben Smith, and I think it's also due to Stan Bowman saying, okay, if Q's not going to play Ben Smith, because you remember that's what happened. I believe it was the what was the game he called him up? I forget now.
I don't recall either.
Yeah, well, I forget off the top of my head, but he called Ben Smith up, and then Quenneville didn't play him, and then that's when they went to Morin. And I think that's, you know, Stan Bowman saying, okay, you're not going to play Ben Smith. Well, let's take a look at Morin. Let's take a look at Peary. Let's take a look at Jimmy Hayes. Let's take a look at Andrew Shaw and kind of assess what he has. Because, I mean, Bowman's going to make a deal, and at least a couple of these guys are going to be in the deal. Because I don't see him trading Mark McNeil. We'll talk about him in a second. I don't see him trading Brandon Saad or any of these guys. So, I mean, the next guys are Morin, Peary, you know, possibly Jimmy Hayes. I mean, those, you know, I mean, if he's not going to be willing to part with the guy I think most teams right now are probably hot on, which is, you know, who is Brandon Saad, then it's going to drop down to the next guys, which is going to be, you know, it'll be Peary or Morin. But Morin's got to start scoring. You know, he's got one goal in his last 20, three in his last 28. So he's got to start scoring. But be interesting, and of course, Dylan Olsen coming up. You know, if this was 3 years ago, I think Dylan Olsen would come up and stay up. You know, I think on some teams, Dylan Olsen could step in and play in the NHL permanently. I really do. You know, you're not asking. You know, Dylan Olsen's a different kind of player. Than Nick Leddy or Duncan Keith. I think what you're going to be looking for out of Dylan Olsen is, and it's kind of funky that if he plays with Sean O'Donnell, you know, Olsen's going to be the guy. I think Olsen will just sort of be the guy who ends up with the puck, which is going to be interesting to see how that works out. You know, because it's going to be his first game. He's going to be nervous. It's going to be in Philly. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs under that kind of pressure and that nervousness. In the first game, which he'll undoubtedly have. But, I mean, Olsen is a stay-at-home guy. He's going to crunch you along the boards. He's going to, you know, he's going to police the front of the net, and he's going to make a strong, quick first pass. And I think everything outside of that is a work in progress. I do believe that his offensive abilities, as far as being able to pass the puck, shoot the puck, I think they translate better to the NHL with superior talent. I think in the rat race that is the AHL, I just think that I offensively, I think, you know, this sounds weird to say that, oh, he can't score, he can't pick up points in the AHL. I just think that when he starts playing with better players, I think his offensive ability will show more from the blue line, because he's not a guy who, you know, who winds up all the time, takes big slap shots. That's Sean Lalonde. He's a guy who will take the puck and he'll try to put, you know, sneak it through traffic at you know, knee high, and allow his forwards to tip the puck. And he does a lot of intentionally shooting the puck off the back wall, which guys in the NHL will be ready for. They'll be down there. They're quick enough to get down there and pick up a puck. They're talented enough. They got good enough hands. So I think he's going to do well. I really do. And I mean, once Monitor gets healthy, he's going back to the AHL. But you know, if the Blackhawks didn't have eight bodies up there when all healthy, I think that before the end of the season, I do believe that Dylan Olsen could be an NHL player. But I don't think it hurts at all to just let him play in Rockford, unless this team in Rockford gets out of hand, which it could. I mean, they're in the middle of, well, they're just starting a 7-game road trip. They got 3-3 this weekend in Texas. And, I mean, they're shorthanded as it is, and then with these guys going up to play with the Blackhawks, this thing could get way out of hand in a hurry. And I don't know that you'd want a young defenseman to be a part of that, but we'll see. Anything else before we move on?
No, you hit it perfectly.
As I mentioned, Mark McNeil, Philip Deneau, the Blackhawks' first-round picks from 2011, both signed entry-level deals. They'll continue to play with their junior teams. Really doesn't mean anything at all. It just means that they're under contract. So formality taken care of. Contract doesn't start kicking in until they start playing games at the pro level, and they're a ways away from doing that. So not really much to talk about there. McNeil is on a roll, though. Should probably talk about that. Of course, McNeil and Mark McNeil, who's the 18th overall pick, Deneau, was picked up a little bit later on. What was the 26th overall? In the spot that I was certain at the time the Hawks were going to use 26 to get Brandon Saad. And at the time, I just couldn't believe it that they passed up on Brandon Saad there. And then they got lucky as hell that he dropped as far as he did. But they're both 18, turn 19 next month, but of course they were both cut from Team Canada's World Junior team that's playing right now up in Alberta. But back with his junior team, McNeil had 9 goals in 9 December games. He has 14 goals in his last 17 in the WHL. So we'll see. I watched McNeil play in the July prospect camp and in training camp, and he didn't look ready to me then. I can't say – I haven't seen him play a lick of hockey since he left training camp. But, you know, the numbers look great. But you know what? Kyle Beach lit up the Western League. And, you know, so I don't know what that means. I don't watch enough Western, you know, Western junior hockey to be able to evaluate that. So take it with a grain of salt until you see the kid play, which, unless he gets traded to a contender, will be in Rockford in March, because McNeil's WHL team is awful. That's about it there. We should probably do, I said we were going to do predictions and resolutions. Superstar, do you have any interesting New Year's resolutions?
Ooh, New Year's resolution.
Can I say something while you're thinking about that, though?
You can, because it's going to be a minute.
Never mind that I told you this 3 days ago.
It was about seven hours ago, but we'll give you that.
Okay. So, you know, I was on the Facebook the other night. And you know, all these people, I guess this would have been before the news. So it was further back than the other night. But all these people are posting like goodbye 2011, you know, they're all excited about a brand new year. Can't wait to put 2011 behind them. That always makes me laugh because it's like, you know, why are you running away from 2011? What was so bad about 2011?
Well, you know, people could have personal tragedies and, you know, the economy is bad.
What does the change of flipping of a calendar going to do to change all that?
Oh, I'm agreeing with you 100%, but I'm trying to play devil's advocate as far as what they could possibly be thinking.
I don't know. I don't like that. I personally would like to go back and have a do-over. You know, me personally, I mean, a lot of you have to go way back, but I'd like to have a do-over.
Well, see, 2012 could be your do-over.
What are your New Year's resolutions, Superstar?
You know what? On a quirky, funny one, watch, I am going to resolute to get to not only Rockford some point this year, and, you know, I got two chances, fall in and coming up here, but also, you and I got to get back to the Allstate Arena. So that's kind of a quirky, you know, a fun little one that you know we'll try to get done, and I'm sure we'll be able to.
I avoid even more than spending time with Blackhawks fans.
Spending time with Wolves fans.
Yeah, spending time with Chicago Wolves fans. Well, first of all, I can't stand. I hate the Allstate Arena. I just can't stand it. When I had, you know this, Superstar, I had season tickets to the Wolves up until a couple of years ago, and I had them for, I don't know, 9 years. And I didn't get rid of them because the Blackhawks got good. I had season tickets to both the whole time. And I just got rid of them because I just didn't have time to go, and the Wolves tickets ended up being a waste half the time because you couldn't get rid of them ever. But the only reason why I went was because I had season ticket holder privileges, and I got to park in that east lot on Manheim next to the Target.
Right.
That's the only reason why I went, because as soon as that game ended, I was out of there. I don't know, no stopping and chatting. I was out of there. I was in the car, and then bang, I was out of there and usually up the road to the bar. But that's the only way I was going there. Because the parking lot's a disaster. Even when there's only 6,000 people there somehow, which is most of the time, I just can't stand that place. But if you want to go, I will honor your New Year's resolution.
I think that's a good one. It'd be like,
and I will take you to the BMO. I'll do that.
I've never been to the
I won't sit with you, but I'll take you.
I'll throw
popcorn at you from the press box.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that a lot. Now, obviously, there's others. But what about you, Block? Any New Year's resolutions? I hate to bring it up, but you did have one on Facebook a few weeks ago. But is there any other resolution that you have for the new year?
Oh, you mean the one about peeing in my tub?
Yeah, well, I was...
You know that was a joke, right?
I was going to let you kind of skirt around it, but yeah, I understand.
I can't post anything on Facebook because everybody thinks I'm serious all the time, and I'm not.
Well, you do realize
you
do realize that's one that if anybody knows you, it could go either way.
Yeah, I understand. I will say this. As far as, I'm not going to start this because obviously we're going to Vegas here pretty soon. But when we get back from Vegas, I was perusing the Twitter. I think it was right before the 31st, and the Toronto Marlies coach Dallas Eakins did a. This is what gave me this idea. He did, I believe he said, 90 days, no caffeine, no alcohol.
Wow.
I'm going to do that. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do that.
That's tough because anybody, you know, like you said, okay, so you're not going to do that now because we obviously have Vegas coming up. But then it's like after Vegas, there's always something else. There's, I'd love to do that, but, you know, there's always something for somebody, you know. Oh, it's you know, St. Patrick's Day, or it's baseball opening day.
You do bring up an excellent point because St. Patrick's Day this year is on a Saturday.
Right. So you know, and then after that, it's like it's March Madness or opening day or Memorial Day and then 4th of July and you know, next thing you know, you're into August.
Why
you know,
gotta ruin my resolution, superstar? Because not only is St. Patrick's Day on a Saturday, but you know, so I mean, if it fell on a weekday, which it usually does, obviously, odds are, I could just ignore it, and I have. I just ignore St. Patrick's Day, and I love the Irish people. Irish people tend to like me for the most part, for a little while anyway, and. But not only is it, you know, it falls on a Saturday this year, but there's no Rockford IceHogs game, home game anyway, and the Blackhawks are off. So I have no choice but to go drink.
Right.
All right, we'll start on the 18th of March.
Yeah, I'm not trying to ruin your resolution. And I think
you
that's
already
great,
did.
I'm just pointing out the difficulties, you know, in the challenges you may face. I don't want you to roll into 2013 and watch another do-over because you didn't go 90 days or no alcohol, no caffeine.
I think I'll just take like a red card for that day or something. You know, it's like I'll do 89 days no caffeine, no alcohol.
taking a red card. There's no, you do like 90 in 91. You know, we'll give you one. 90 and 91.
I think in 2012, I was talking to Sam Fels the other night outside the United Center, and you know, I think I'm just in general just going to be trying to incorporate a generally sunnier disposition.
I like it. I think that's another good resolution for you. Be more.
Sam made an excellent point. It's in person. I'm always sunny. It's just digitally that I'm a crab ass, you know.
it you know what, it depends. You can always tell your mood on how long it takes you to respond to something. Yeah. And it was funny, we were going back and forth the other night about something and my wife after a while had asked me, like, who is texting you this, you know, the whole time. And I was like, well, it's you know, it's block. It's the holidays. I think he's lonely. So, you know, maybe another resolution of mine is to get block less lonely.
Predictions. I want to start with this, okay? I have predictions.
I wrote them down.
I wrote them down. I was thinking about this all week. First of all, and I want to say this, and I don't want to be too personal. By the way, if anybody's still listening, which God bless you if you are, if you're doing this live. Again, if you're listening to this live, which means it's 8:59 on Wednesday night, you could call in because we're going to talk about the Bears. So if you want to call in and ask me how about them Bears like some idiot did last week, you can do that. And we'll actually talk about the Bears because I don't want anybody getting mad at me. At 347-857-3781, 347-857-3781. I'm going to work on my general sunny disposition.
Yeah, you need to. You have 29 days. I'm not going to Vegas with crap.
I can't even say it. This is my first prediction, and it's directed at you, Superstar. In 2012, Superstar will get pregnant. Well, your wife will.
I'll get pregnant?
Yeah, it's not you, your wife.
Okay.
This is all you have left to do.
That really is all I have left to do.
Yeah, and your time is running out, my friend.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I predict that Superstar will also live at my house for a period of at least a week.
I'm a little less happy about that prediction, but I'll try to work on those for you.
I don't think you're my only friend that's going to be living at my house for any length of time this year either. I'll go ahead and predict this. I predict that there'll be more nights spent at my place this year in 2012 by my male friends than there will be female friends. I think that's a solid pick.
So much for my resolution to make you less lonely.
Hockey predictions. I'm going to stick with my preseason prediction. I believe we talked about it here. I know it was printed in the Indian. NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals in June. Blackhawks and Rangers. Even though watching this 24/7, these guys in this Ranger locker room, they got, I mean, talk about a bunch of dense guys. But I still love the way they play. I think they're going to make a major trade, and I think it's going to be Blackhawks and the Rangers, and the Blackhawks will win their second Stanley Cup in 3 years, right? And
yeah.
I'm sticking with it. And I just mentioned big trade. By the trade deadline, I'm going out on a limb, Superstar. Jerome Iginla will be a New York Ranger.
Okay. I think it's almost a no-brainer that Iginla gets traded.
It's a no-brainer.
I think he's come to the terms of he's not going to win a cup in Calgary. And wants out, and obviously the deadline is the time to do it. But you know, Block, step back, and you started talking about the Rangers, and I was talking to a buddy about those same New York blue shirts, and they, as far as Las Vegas gambling odds, are probably the best financial wager you can make to win the Stanley Cup there. 30-1 odds right now.
Really?
That's 30-1 right now.
Well, I'm gonna be laying something down on that.
And you know there was a couple other ones. I think the Hawks were 9, the Capitals were 16, and the other one that sticks out was the Tampa Bay Lightning was like 40-1. But the Rangers at 30-1 is a hell of a money play for your money.
Yeah, I'd go with that. I mean, it goes against my prediction, but if it involves me winning money, then I'll do it.
Right.
Because, yeah. anything else?
As far as predictions go, I don't know if I was, I think I might have been MIA from the show when the finals and futures show went on, but I think... I mean, if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that the Flyers beat the Red Wings for the Stanley Cup.
It's not a bad prediction. All right, we'll get back to this in a little bit because we've got to hit a bunch of things and we're running out of time. Poll up on the website for the last few days. I want to talk about this. Who will be the Blackhawks' number two center when the playoffs begin? As of right now, as of a little while ago, I haven't checked this in a bit. Leading the way is trade acquisition, 35%. So I don't know. I laugh because trade acquisition could be anybody. It could be Dominic Moore. Dominic Moore is coming in to center the Blackhawks' second line. I don't know. I don't know who the Blackhawks are going to trade to get a second line center that they'd actually want, but I don't know. 35% of the people said responding said trade acquisition. Second was Patrick Kane, 27%. Then Marcus Kruger, 17%. Brandon Peary, who was I think when I put this up, he was just leaving. Brandon Peary, 11%. Patrick Sharp, 6%. And other, 4%. I don't know who that other would be. Dave Boland, I guess. Speaking of the Stanley Cup team, John Madden signed today for the rest of the season with the Florida Panthers. So he's back with Dale Talon.
Putting the band back together.
No, putting the limo back together. Versteeg and Madden back together again. Okay. Did you see the Blackhawks TV Christmas special?
I did not see the whole thing, but I did catch the wonderful medley of Christmas or holiday songs that they put together, which I hate those things, but that was so damn funny.
Really, I thought it was pretty dumb, but I mean, there were parts of it that were clever, but you know, I guess the problem is that I saw all the reaction to it before I actually saw it, and then I saw it, and I'm like, this really isn't that funny, you know, or entertaining. It's, I mean, there were a couple parts of it that were amusing, but I don't know, didn't really do anything for me. I will say this: I guess it was about 10 minutes in, if I'm remembering correctly. I saw this on Christmas Day, actually, at my parents' house. My parents had a DVR and they played it. Because I hadn't seen it yet. And did you see the NHL 36 Patrick Kane? Did you see that half-hour thing on Versus?
No, I did not. I tried to find it after the fact, and I could not find a replay of it.
Well, you know where the replays were? They were on the NHL Network, which you don't have. So
there you go. See? God damn it, AT&T.
Somebody call Superstar's local cable provider. Get them to
you. Yeah, somebody call Uverse because I've done it a few times already.
You have Fuel, though, right, for the UFC?
I do.
Is it in
HD? Actually, I'm 90%. I'm sure I do, but I better check that.
Yeah, you better.
If not, I'm getting a new cable provider pretty quickly.
I do want to say this because the reason why I bring this up, I want to compliment the Blackhawks on doing a far better job at documenting. I mean, basically, for those who missed it, it was Paul Goodman, who's the Blackhawks strength and conditioning coach, kind of hosting a behind-the-scenes look at basically a 36 hours of traveling with the Blackhawks behind the scenes of, you know, it was a Tuesday practice, traveling to Minnesota, the morning skate, the game, and then, you know, it cut off basically after that on their flying back home to Chicago. I thought that 10 minutes was far superior to the piece of crap that Ross Greenberg put together for Versus, that NHL 36, which was so corny. I mean, to think about Patrick Kane sitting on standing on the Wabash Street Bridge, what is 4 years, 4 or 5 years into his career in Chicago, standing there talking with his dad about, man, this is really is a great city. I mean, it was so canned and forced and, you know, I mean, it's exactly what Patrick Kane doesn't need, which is to come off like a phony. I mean, they were trying to make Kane just seem like a normal kid who's just sort of out and trying to, it was too forced. I didn't like it. But I really enjoyed actually the whole Blackhawks TV I thought was very good. The special with the girl with the leukemia, Amanda Baybar, I believe if I had that correct. That was really nice. I enjoyed that too. I was in the Christmas spirit, I think.
That's pretty rare.
Yeah, it didn't last very long. AHL All-Star teams were announced today. Brandon Peary, the lone Rockford IceHog representative on the AHL Western Conference All-Star team. He joins Darren Haydar of the Chicago Wolves, who was named captain of that team. Matthew Hackett, who is the nephew of former Blackhawks goaltender Jeff Hackett, Kevin Connaughton of the Wolves, Ryan Ellis, Nashville Predators prospect, and Nazem Kadri, TJ Hensick, and Joe Colburn. Colburn and Kadri of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization, that's basically that. So no Brian Connolly. It's kind of a little bit surprised for no Brian Connolly, but I don't know that you can have two players from the worst team in the AHL on the All-Star team, but Peary definitely had to go. So that's that. Any thoughts on NHL realignment?
I love it. I you know, growing up when we did, when you knew that the first round of the playoffs, you were going to see, I mean, a lot of people might not lie, you were going to see the teams that you saw a bunch of throughout the regular season. I think it's, I guess it brings, if anything, brings us back to, you know, how we, you know, what we were raised on. So I like it. I don't know about you. What do you think of it?
Well, I think the basic gist of the plan, I mean, the idea to get every team into every building, which is the foundation of it, I think is the right thing to do. I don't think it's good for your league that, you know, you have a market that doesn't see, well, knock on wood, Sidney Crosby every year, or the Blackhawks every year. I don't think that's not conducive for a healthy league, and that's been going on for years now. So they fixed that problem, which is something that should have been fixed years ago. But they finally got around to fixing it. So you got that. I like the idea of getting rivalries back into the game. And as we've seen with the Vancouver Canucks, you can only truly have rivalries if you get teams making it to the playoffs and facing off against one another. You know, that's where your true rivalries are going to come into play. You know, I know that a lot of people are kind of, you know, upset that the Vancouver Canucks and the Blackhawks are going to lose that. And, you know, it's kind of a roll of the dice now. I mean, the way it's going to be set up, they'd have to meet in the conference finals every year. That's the chance for them to play in the playoffs. But, you know, you're going to have new rivalries that pop up. The Blues rivalry potentially could be that much more fierce, and the Predators and the Wild and Winnipeg. And, you know, it's been a while. I mean, it's funny because the Red Wings were just here last week. Now they're here again this coming Sunday night. And there's really not a lot to these games because, you know, the Blackhawks played the Red Wings a few years ago in the playoffs, and that was the year before they won the Cup. And they lost out in the conference finals, but it was 1 year, and You know, the teams really haven't played outside of that in the playoffs for years and years. So it's kind of a stale, it's a stale rivalry that could use some juice, and I think this new realignment will give it some juice. The problem with realignment, though, is very simple, in that, you know, how you have two conferences now, and at the bottom of every conference you have basically two teams by January that you know are out of it. And we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, I don't, you know, who knows how it's actually going to play out. But I'm interested to see you've got four conferences, essentially, is what they're kind of calling them. How many teams are out of it in each conference by January? And what happens, let's just say, to the Columbus Blue Jackets or a team like the Dallas Stars or, the Minnesota Wild? What happens to these teams? I mean, if only four teams in each conference are going to make the playoffs, then that means, you know, four teams aren't. And the way that, things have kind of worked out recently is that, you know, you have your mainstays at the top of, you know, your divisions and in your leagues, and then you have everybody else. And how long can everybody else hang on if they're not sharing in some of that success? And I'd be interested to see how long Columbus can hang on, because they're barely hanging on as it is. And it's not, I mean, relocating a team will only keep them alive for, you know, so long. No matter where you put a team, it's got to have success. Winnipeg's working out great right now, but what happened to Winnipeg? They, became a mediocre franchise, and they were a mediocre franchise for so long that people lost interest, and they stopped paying the escalated prices to go watch their team play. And, I mean, that could happen in 4 years. And the Winnipeg owners have already, they've already said, and the NHL has already acknowledged, that hockey does not work in Winnipeg unless that building is sold out. You know, so, I mean, Winnipeg's going to have to share in that playoff success. So it'll be interesting to see, because if you just figure, it's like, okay, the Red Wings and the Blackhawks, just kind of figure that they're always going to be there. They're set up anyway, you know, for the next, let's just say, 5 years. Those two teams are set up for success. So then it's like, who are the next two teams going to be? You know, are the Predators just always going to find a way to get into the playoffs? Well, then you got one team left. You got one spot left. Is that the Blues? Is that the Wild? Is that the Stars? Is that the Jets? You know, or is that the Blue Jackets? I mean, there's four teams basically. Five. You want to call five? You want to throw Nashville in there? Five teams looking at two spots. There's another team I'm forgetting too. But you know what I'm saying? I think that it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because, you know.
Now, the question I have on the realignment going back is, and I don't think I saw anything on this. Obviously, there's going to be the four conferences, that essentially you have the four conference winners in the playoff, first two rounds of the playoff, play each other to go to the Stanley Cup. Fine, I get it. But how are those four divisions or four conferences set up to play? Is it still going to be essentially what it is now, Western and Eastern? I haven't seen anything on that. So essentially what I'm saying is you could essentially have the Blackhawks playing the New York Rangers for the chance to play Vancouver in the Stanley Cup Finals. So once you're in the Final Four, how are those Final Four position?
No, I think it's still done geographically. I know what you're saying, but it's still done geographically.
Okay, because I didn't see anything on that. And that, I mean, because that, you're changing everything, because now, I mean, obviously you can never have the Hawks Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals, because they're in the same conference. But you could have Vancouver and the Hawks playing for it all, which I think obviously would just add to everything that's gone on between those two teams.
I don't see that happening, though, because you've got four original six. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I mean, I think it's just travel wise, you're gonna keep. I mean, the teams basically out of their position now. It'll still, those teams will meet in the conference finals.
Right, well, and that's fine. I mean, but I hate it that you're calling them four conferences. I guess I'm just
I don't like the fact that they call them.
Two conferences, four divisions, and be done with it.
Before we get out of here, we got to talk about Marcus Kruger. Tuesday, Joe Quenneville talked about Marcus Kruger had a bad day. He had a setback. Okay. Then today, Wednesday, Joe Quenneville says, "Oh, he had a much better day today." And it was talking like, that things are much better, and the Blackhawks are really worrying me about how they're treating concussions. And we saw it with Brent Seabrook. It's like, I don't care what Brent Seabrook says. He may not have been, knocked out there when Rene Bork drove his head into the boards or in the glass. He may not have. But they kept him out of the rest of that game because, Seabrook's explanation the next day was, I wasn't knocked out, but, the doctors couldn't tell on the replay if I was or not. Well, what? I mean, they're supposed to examine you. If they're examining you and you look fine, then you would go back into the game, right?
Make sense to me, yeah.
Because they examined Marcus Kruger and they put him back into the game. Okay, so Brent Seabrook, they apparently examined and said that no, you can't play the rest of the game. We're gonna make you sit out. But yet they allow him to get on a plane and fly to Pittsburgh the next day and then play a back to back against Pittsburgh and Montreal before the Christmas break. Instead of saying, I don't understand, who's deciding, and how are they deciding how they handle each, and yes, each concussion is different. Each player is different because everybody's body is different. And how a body responds to something, and every hit's different, every angle that you get knocked into the board is different. Yes, all that is true. But I saw the Seabrook hit, and I saw how he went into the glass. I'm not taking Seabrook's word for it. If he's my player, I would at least have sat him out the Pittsburgh game. He's not getting on a plane because, concussion symptoms tend to intensify, especially when they're misdiagnosed, if they are. I'm not saying his was, but I'm just saying, leading into that, I'm just like, no, we've got enough guys. If I'm Stan Bowman, I'm carrying eight defensemen. Stay back, and if you're fine, you can play Wednesday. But there's no reason to risk this. But no, he's kept out of the game because nobody's sure whether or not he was knocked out or not. Seabrook just said he wasn't. They evaluate him and they say, no, we're not going to have you play. But and then you evaluate Kruger, but you send him back into the game, and then it turns out he has a concussion. And then he played again, and he gets punched in the face. And it's just. And then John at the Fifth Feather, if you go to fifthfeather.com, in his Edmonton rap the other night, he had a note. He was listening to the score, and Barry Rosner was on the score, and basically you know, Rosner was throwing out one of those, you know, those nuggets about, you know, whispers that he had heard from sources inside the Blackhawks indicated to him that the Blackhawks felt that Dave Bolin milked his concussion last year. You know, I mean, to me, and I've said this before, concussions, you know, head trauma needs to be taken, the NHL needs to step in. And, you know, because it seems like a lot of the talk and a lot of, you know, what everybody's been saying about this has been how the league and how teams respond to a concussion. And there's not enough how to prevent concussions. Like in the case of Marcus Kruger, I think the question can be asked, was there not enough done to prevent Marcus Kruger's situation, you know, whatever it was initially, you know, was enough done, was enough precaution taken to prevent further damage? I mean, we can't say for sure, but he went back out and played. He played, you know, further on after that, and now he's on IR with a concussion. Was enough done? Was enough? Did the Blackhawks take that seriously enough to prevent further damage? You know, I think the league needs to step in, and I'm not suggesting impropriety. I'm not, you know, maybe, you know, the Blackhawks just have a way of doing things, or they're just doing it up to the guidelines that the NHL set, and the guidelines that the NHL set just aren't strict enough. I don't know. But the Blackhawks now have shown a pattern of not taking enough precaution with their players. Going back, and it goes back further than this, but this is the biggest example was the 2009 conference finals when Nicholas Cronwall nearly killed Marty Havlat. Marty Havlat knocked out, eyes in the back of his head for 2 minutes on the ice. And 40 hours later, he was playing in the next game in Detroit. He wasn't out there very long because it turned out that he couldn't do it. But the Blackhawks put him out there in harm's way. They allowed him to do that. I'd expected the player would want to try. I'd expected the player, but you know what? The decision isn't the player's. And the NHL needs to step in, and they need to appoint independent doctors in each city that, you know, have to be there for each one of these games. And when a player takes a headshot, I don't care where it is, I don't care if it results in a penalty, I don't care. They need to be, you know, evaluated by an independent doctor. It needs to be taken out of the team's hands because, you know, it's great that Jeremy Roenick said that he probably had 13 concussions or whatever when he played. But you know what? The game that Jeremy Roenick played in was then. This game is faster. The players are in better condition. They're stronger. They're quicker. They're more agile. There's less room to move. And, I mean, it's a very systematic north-south game that is becoming more and more dangerous. So I don't think that you can say, well, players used to be able to play through these things, and, you know, no. I think that what we're learning about concussions and head trauma, I mean, it can't be, you know, looked at enough. And the fact that, you know, what's happened with Kruger, what the Blackhawks did with Havlat, and, you know, I just don't think they're doing enough. I quite frankly, I don't trust them. You know, I think we're seeing that more and more. It's not just the Blackhawks. I don't want to pick on the Blackhawks, but that's just local. It's what we talk about. I just don't think enough is being done. You know, it's just like with Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby takes a headshot. He gets sent back out there, and he gets another. You know, he gets hit in the head again. Was enough done? Was enough done by the Pittsburgh staff? You know, to be fair, to protect Sidney Crosby? Obviously not. You know, and I think that, you know, at the end of the day, team doctors are paid by the team, and Not, again, not suggesting impropriety, but I think that to be, you know, when a big boxing event comes to, you know, comes to town, it's not the promoters who, you know, or the fighter's corner that decides whether or not, you know, to suspend the guy from contact, you know, after he gets knocked out. It's a state appointed, you know, state appointed athletic commission appointed doctor that steps in and says, no, I'm suspending you. You can't fight for the next 60 days. And I think that's where we, you know, it probably won't happen because at the end of the day, it's about money and, you know, the NHL will take years to figure these kind of things out. But I think that's where it needs to go. You know, it's like with Ben Smith, you know, Ben Smith knocked out cold on the ice, was knocked out when he hit the ice. And 3.5 weeks later, he's back in action. Is that the right thing to do for Ben Smith? I don't know. You know, it's whereas conversely, you have Jeremy Morin who sits out 9 months with something that didn't look as bad is what happened to Ben Smith. You know, I just think that not enough caution is being taken with these guys, and I think it needs to change. And it's not going to be the teams. It's just not going to be the teams that initiate that change.
No, I
all right, Superstar.
You you couldn't have said it better. When you have to have an independent doctor there that can clear or not, and not somebody who's paid and you know influenced by the team. You know, team pays that guy's salary. Say what you want. There's influence there.
Any further we're going to go?
No, I'm
done. So, you know, anyway, that's enough. I do want to say, Saturday night, Hockey Night is doing, I don't know what they're doing, but they're entertaining Red Wings fans at, what the hell is the name of that place?
I don't know.
Patty Long's. Patty Long's, 1048 West Diversity in Chicago, over there near the lake. 1048 West Diversity, Patty Long's, that it's one of Chicago's only bars that you can get drink beer and eat bacon. So that's always a plus.
My type of place.
Yes. So, yes, Patty Long's on Saturday. The Hockey Night guys over there, Second City Hockey, doing a bottom lounge get-together on Thursday night. So get over there to watch the Blackhawks and the Flyers. 6 o'clock puck drop. And then about a half hour after that game ends, you get to see the finale of 24-7, Flyers and Rangers. So those two things to look forward to. Blackhawks at home on Friday night, facing off against the Colorado Avalanche. And then Sunday, the Red Wings come back. Anything to add on any of that? Cap this thing off, Superstar?
No. Will you be at the UC on Friday night?
I will be. Will you be there? Are you?
I will be.
Are you asking me out on a date, or you just want
to
see?
No. I just wanted to make sure I don't come down to 309 during intermission for nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, you do that, and maybe I'll buy you a beer.
Hey.
All right, Superstar, thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I do not know when we're going to do another show, but when I figure it out, I will let everybody know on the website. Again, thanks, everybody, for listening. And, I think that's about it. Yeah. I think that's about it. It's good when I have a plan for these things.
Yeah. I mean, 100 shows in, we still don't know how to end it.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to play your favorite. You know what it is?
I hate you.
All right, that's enough dead air. I think that's our dead air requirement for the night. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you probably next week. Good night, everybody.